Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
The Old Testament prophets, they never saw this thing called the church age. They had no idea that God was going to graft in the Gentile nations in Romans 9. Awesome. That's what us, folks, that's us.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. We continue our extended look at Bible prophecy today as Pastor Herron shares with us key events of the rapture.
How do we look at the rapture? How does that play into that? Does the Bible teach about the rapture? I think the Bible does talk about the rapture. I wish I had time to go through all of it. I don't. The term rapture is nowhere in the Bible. But there's a term that would give us what we get the term rapture. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You have 15 very clear facts, key events of the rapture. Off of 1 Thessalonians 4 and two other passages, John 14 and 1 Corinthians 15, you will find what I think to be biblical facts about the rapture. So let's start right there. Number one, the Lord himself will descend from his Father's house where he's preparing a place for us. The Bible says in verse 16, 1 Thessalonians 4, because these people at Thessalonica had questions about it. And so he answered, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. So number two, he will come again to receive us to himself. This is what he says in John 14, 1 and 3. He's going to come. Number three, he will resurrect those who have fallen asleep in him. They died in him. The deceased believers whom we will not precede. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Number four, the Lord will shout as he descends. The Bible says it's a loud command. And all this takes place in the twinkling of an eye. Number five, we will hear the voice of the archangel. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. He says, there's a voice of the archangel shall descend with heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. Number six, we will also hear the trumpet call of God, as I just mentioned, the last trumpet for the church. And so it is debatable again about who's going to hear that trumpet, but there's going to be that sound. Number seven, the dead in Christ will rise first. The corruptible ashes of their dead bodies are made incorruptible, and they're joined together with their spirits, which Jesus brings with him. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel with the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. In some mysterious way, as I heard Dr. Phil Schuller years ago at a Bible conference at Bob Jones talk about an old buddy in the World War II that he was in, and guy got all shot up, and he preached this whole message about this guy, and he had an arm in the ocean, and he lost his leg in another place, and he got saved, and so someday, God, when he calls him, that leg's going to go, and I remember hearing that thinking, that is cool. I don't know how all that's going to happen, but we do know we're not going to have this kind of body. We're going to have a glorified body. But he says, listen, they're going to go first. And then you say, well, you know, are we going to see them all coming out of the graves? It doesn't say that, but it doesn't say it is and doesn't say it isn't. Who knows? People going to watch this happen? But we do know that as number seven, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Number eight, then we who are alive and remain will be changed. We are made incorruptible by having our bodies made immortal. I read 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, and also verse 53. There is going to be a glorified body that evidently is going to be recognizable. You're going to know who they are. There's much written about. Does this mean that, okay, you die at 15, or others die at 80, and people didn't know you, and you were 80, and they knew you when you were in your 20s, and they hadn't seen you for all these years? My cousin, well, I guess I saw her 3 or 4 years ago, my previous that, I hadn't seen them in years, literally 20 years. And they walked into my mother's funeral. I didn't even know who they were. They got talking instantly. No, that's Carrie, and that's Roger. Well, my point is, let's suppose that Carrie died and I hadn't seen her. And now we're all in heaven or we're headed up towards heaven. And I think Carrie, last time I saw her when she was 11 and 12 years old. Now she's almost 50. And I didn't know what she looked like at 50. Somehow we're going to have that ability to see and know who that is. It's a pretty awesome thought. We'll talk more about new heaven, new earth. But the fact is that number 7, the dead in Christ will rise first. Number 8, they who are alive and remain will be changed. And number 9, we do know 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says we will be caught up or raptured together. And as I mentioned, the term rapture is an English word. It's not in the scriptures, but the concept is very clear. And Paul was teaching this to people at Thessalonica because there is confusion. And he was clarifying all of this in an inspirational way. They're going to be caught up together in the clouds. Verse 10, we will be caught up in the clouds where dead and living believers will have a monumental reunion. Awesome. Man, how's that going to work? We're going to be in the clouds. No Continental Airlines. Well, you'll be flying, I guess, but kind of in a different new way. You know, it's like, is this really? Yeah. So whether you die tomorrow or the rapture comes tomorrow, there's going to be a reunion. People you haven't seen, people that you don't even know, you will know. It's an amazing thing. And then look at number 11, we'll meet the Lord in the air. Not on the earth, not up in the heavens, in the air. Number 12, Christ will receive us to himself and take us to the Father's house. The Bible says in John 14:3, that where I am, there ye may be also. And so during that time period, what I think personally, as then for the next 7 years, where we are then in heaven, and we are that 7 years consummating that time with the Lord in the church, while on earth a whole nother scene is going, as God himself has a plan set, and he documents a lot of that we'll be looking at in the days ahead, called the tribulation. And his goal for all of that is giving again as many opportunities as possible for people to see the glorious truth that he's the Savior of the world. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants all to come to repentance. He's not here to punish people. He is here to draw people's heart to him. And there are going to literally be multitudes that are going to be saved during that tribulation period. Speculation. Facts, assumptions, speculation. There's a whole series of books. It's called Left Behind by Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins. And it's a nice read. If you've never read it and you want a nice fictional read, just enjoyable, it's a nice enjoyable read. But it's based on assumption that you're sitting here and the rapture took place right now. Trump, archangel, and you're still sitting here. I think there's going to be folks sitting in here. We're going to be meeting reunion in the air. And you're going to think, I can't believe that guy's here. You know what I mean? I don't know that. No, this is just speculation. Okay, this is speculation. I speculate, wondering like, where are they? And evidently, it's going to be something happening along that line, because Matthew 7 says that there are going to be some calling me Lord, Lord. And I said, I don't know you. Depart from me. I never knew you. That's scary. That is a scary thought. Man, when I was a kid at a certain point in my life, that scared me to death. That is no fear anymore. Not at all. But you kind of wonder, like, where? So that's what you don't want to happen in either way. Well, the fact is, there is a fact here. The point, number 11, we will meet in the air. Number 12, Christ will receive us to himself, take us to his Father's house. He said that where I am, there you may be also. Number 13, and we shall always be with the Lord. He says, verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, will meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be ever be with the Lord. We will always be with him. We will be with him in that 7-year period, and the marriage supper of the Lamb is consummated. We will then come on the second coming with our Lord to this earth. The rapture is coming for us. This second time, we're coming with him. So I wish I had time, and I don't. Next week, we'll try and get to this area of glorious appearing and how many times, as the prophets looked, it's like you looking at mountain ranges from a distance, and all of it looks as one. But the closer you get to those mountain ranges, you realize you're just seeing peaks of those mountains. There's a lot of valleys between that. That's like the Old Testament prophets prophesying. 25% of our Bible is prophetic. And in that prophecy, as humanly, you would look at a mountain range and it all looks like one flat plateau. The closer you get to that, and certainly by the time you get in those mountains, you realize, you know what? There are peaks and there's big valleys. In essence, that's what the Old Testament prophets, they never saw this thing called the church age. They had no idea that God was going to graft in the Gentile nations in Romans 9. Awesome. That's what us, folks, that's us. And you say, well, that was never God's original plan. But in his foreordained knowledge of the world, he knew this was going to happen. And so there are points to this that Old Testament prophets never added into that. But we now, looking back, to realize, you know what? We are sitting here. This is how we can understand the New Testament. Number 13, social will always be with the Lord. 14, at the call of Christ for believers, we will judge all things. Christians will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Described in detail in 1 Corinthians 3, this judgment prepares Christians for the next event. But 1 Corinthians 3 talks about the Bema seat. That's the judgment seat of Christ, number 14. Notice the judgment of believers at the judgment seat of Christ. I've been over this as a quick review. You have good works, you have bad works. And so 1 Corinthians 3 talks about the judgment seat of Christ is going to burn up those things that are worthless and going to make the difference between quality on one side, Matthew 25, and good works done with evil motives, Matthew 6. He's going to show the quantity of what we're doing for Christ versus the hidden counsels of the heart that are only evil. And he's also going to filter out by the fire of his judgment the time which we spend and the unconfessed sin. And the warning in 2 John 8 is not losing your reward. Somehow in God's economy, he in his pure, holy judgment will know what we've done for him. And without that leading you to some morbid introspection, which your conscience is a horrible guide for that. The Holy Spirit wants to be your guide to help you know, Lord, when I'm going to do this, I want to do this for you. Let me also remind you, there's a big difference between the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment. That is a judgment of nations. That's a judgment of people saved and lost. This judgment seat of Christ is us, and the picture of that is literally the term Bema. Do you remember me talking about this at one time? You can still go today to Corinth, the exact city that when Paul talked about 1 Corinthians 3, the Bema seat, they unearthed it. You can see it. And this is a Bema. I'm standing here because I'm a citizen. I never get up here unless I'm a citizen of Corinth. If I was at Ephesus or Colossae, I could never get up here. Because I'm a citizen, I'm here now. And the only reason you stand here is because you're going to get something. I get a wreath because I ran for Corinth and I won, like the gold medal, and I get a wreath. And everybody applauds for me. And it's not just now the green wreath, but also when I go home, I get a little seal put on the wall of my house that says, I'm exempt from taxes. I'm exempt from going to war. Awesome. It's all reward-based. So this whole thing here is purely related to positive. Your judgment and punishment for sin was paid on Calvary's cross. You're not going to heaven with this, oh my word, man, am I in trouble? That is done and gone, my friend. Your standing is in Christ, Romans 5. You're justified by faith. You have peace with God.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189. Barragata, Guam, 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us at this same time on Monday for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.